Welcome to the Truth and Liberty broadcast. We believe we have a mandate to bring godly change to our nation and the world through the seven spheres or mountains of influence. To further this cause, we give away a product every week that will empower you to get involved in changing your life and changing our world. You can register for our weekly giveaway by subscribing at truthandliberty.net. You can also subscribe to our newsletter to receive weekly updates on guests, news, and much more. This is an interactive live cast, and we welcome your questions. To ask a question during the live cast, use the comment or chat features. Now, get ready to dive into this week's topics with our hosts on location in Colorado, USA.
Hello, and welcome to our Monday night Truth and Liberty live cast. I'm Andrew Womack. I've got Richard Harris here with me. He's our chief counsel. And tonight we've got a really special program. We've got David Barton, who is one of our board members here at Truth and Liberty and helped get this started. David Barton and Glenn Beck are going to be with us, and we have not been able to contact them officially. So this is going to be fly by the seat of our pants, but they will be joining us presently. Yes. And hopefully everything is going to work. We aren't even sure where they are, but they've got some great updates and things to give us about what's going on in Afghanistan. And they've started drawing people out on their own, I guess, because the government wouldn't do it. They're stepping in. And
that's right.
Anyway, some great things are happening. So it's going to be a special broadcast tonight. Until they get ready, and come on, they should be here very quickly. I think David is doing a Newsmax.
That's right.
Broadcast, and he may be about 10 or 15 minutes late, but Glenn should be with us very quickly. But until then, let's tell him about some things we got going on.
All right. Glad to do it. Thank you, Andrew. Well, so thanks for watching, everybody. I want to start off by saying that if you're watching on Facebook, we encourage you to watch directly on our website. So you can stay on Facebook if you want, but you'll have a better, more reliable experience if you hop over to truthandliberty.net and watch the live stream there. That way we won't get censored.
And I would not doubt at all that some of the things we talk about tonight, they are going to censor it.
I would not be surprised.
So go to truthandliberty.com.
That's right. Truthandliberty.net.
.net. Well, yeah, go there. That'd work better.
Well, I wanted to mention, too, that, you know, there's a lot of stuff happening out there right now on COVID vaccines and mandates. And we've got some links on our website under the resources page I want to refer you to there that's going to help you out with that. You can go, they'll send you over to our friends at Liberty Council, libertylc.org, where you can get legal resources and help to fight against the mandated vaccines. So we're getting inundated with calls and emails every day about this really important subject. I just learned about the governor of Colorado today trying to force it on healthcare workers here. So check that out. Hopefully that'll be a blessing to you. And the many other resources we have on our website to help you be equipped and stand for truth in the public square. And also, we've got some great events coming up here, including our very own Truth and Liberty Coalition Conference, which is not this week, but next week. So September 10th and 11th. It's just right around the corner, Andrew. And the closer it gets, the more excited I am about this event. I think it's going to be awesome. The lineup of people we've got presenting and speaking at this is just world class. So check that out on our website. We've got Andrew's going to be ministering. Mario Murillo is going to be ministering. Bishop E.W. Jackson, who's one of my favorite preachers. Absolutely. In the whole world. He's so good. And then also Congresswoman Lauren Boebert on Saturday. We're really looking forward to that. She's going to have a full segment there. And she's just, I think she's a minister in her own right, but also.
And I think our Congressman Doug Lamborn is going to have a part in this too.
That's right. Friday night, he's got a segment. And then it's just going to be awesome. So be sure to register. It's a free conference. You will need to pay for your meal ticket if you'd like to meet, but make plans now to come out to Woodland Park and a bunch of great workshops and things like that. So it's going to be a great event, Andrew.
All right. So we're going to cut our preliminary short. I think we've got Glenn Beck with us now. Glenn, are you on? Can you hear me?
I am. How are you?
Well, I am blessed. We are really honored to have you with us. And
thank you.
We didn't have the opportunity to talk before the broadcast, and so
right.
I need you to just walk us through what we can and cannot say, but I hear that you and David Barton have been on your own getting people out of Afghanistan, I guess, because the government won't do it.
Right. The government is our biggest obstacle, but certainly we're not on our own. I'll let David speak for himself with Wall Builders, but I represented and started what's called the Nazarene Fund, about 5 or 6 years ago, and we started it because of what was happening in Syria and Iraq, where Christians were being crucified, and Yazidis were also being abandoned. And so we started a program to be able to get Christians and religious minorities that were being persecuted out of the Middle East or anywhere now in the world. And we, about a week ago, 8 days ago, I went on the air and said, we need some money. We can't let our government, we're not the government. We are the people of America, and the people are different than the government. And we believe in certain things, and we shouldn't leave people behind. Amen. And we certainly shouldn't let people be persecuted for their belief. So we raised, I think it's up to about $32 million now.
Wow.
And I went over with David last week to the Middle East, to an undisclosed location. And we put planes on the ground and loaded them up. And I can't give you any more details, but we're not finished. Another 300 came out today.
Praise God.
And wow. Yeah, we, between us and the coalition of Save Our Allies, we have brought out about 12,000 people.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah,
that is amazing.
It's pretty amazing.
And so you paid for all of these aircraft, helicopters, I guess. Can you give us any information about how you locate these people, how you get them out, or is that you can't share?
Can't now. I could have when we were first starting, but now they're watching us very closely. We have operatives, and we are in communication with people in Afghanistan, and they are in hiding at this point. The Taliban and ISIS are working with China and Russia. We understand that they are monitoring phone calls, and we have been urging all of them to turn off your cell phones, keep them off maybe for an hour a day, but only use passwords. If you are calling someone, give them a password, and if you get another call, make sure that person has the password. Otherwise, don't believe it and don't go where they're telling you.
Have you actually got information about what's going on there? Again, you know, we get slanted information through the media. What's actually happening in Afghanistan, especially with Christians?
The Christians, especially those who are called converts, you know, the converted Christians, yep. That's what's marked on their papers. They are the worst of the worst to the Taliban and ISIS. And they have been threatened that if they find them, they will burn them alive, and we know they will do that. We know that several Christians have been killed, and it goes beyond Christians. It's anyone who disagrees with the Taliban. I read a story yesterday about a gay man, and he was sent a note to his home. We know who you are. And we know who you love, and his boyfriend was chopped into pieces and left in the street. It is a horrific situation where anyone who disagrees with them, anyone who doesn't see the world with their twisted view of Islam, is a target, and they will kill them in a brutal, brutal way.
So do you have freedom to talk about our government and how you perceive the way they're doing this exit? Can you comment on all of that?
I can comment on, because we are still relying on the State Department to some degree, I can tell you that they are the biggest hindrance to the saving of Christians or anyone in the Middle East. They have thwarted us at every step of the way. We have had to get what's called dip clearances. I don't even know what they are, but we had to have them to be able to fly our planes in and out. They had to go through the State Department. We would get these, we would request these dip clearances. It would take forever to get them. And then when we got them, they had already expired. We had plane up in the air that had permission to land. And as we are in our landing pattern, they are told, turn them around, you can't land. we had the State Department or the ambassador tell a 82nd Airborne commander to get our people off the ground. They were brought in. It took an awful lot to get these. I think it was about 400, and it took many days to gather them up and to get them there and get them safely into the airport. The commander of the 82nd Airborne, I think he was a lieutenant colonel. I've heard today that he has been relieved of command. Yeah. I don't know if that's true, but he told them to get off his tarmac. We told him, no, we have permission for these guys. They have to go to that plane right there and take off. He said, I don't care what you have. They're in my way. Get them off the tarmac. Get them on the other side of the gate. We put them on the other side of the gate. One of our people told them, stay close to the gate. We will correct this. Unfortunately, that was the Abbey Gate. And we have pictures of our people standing in sewage right at the gate, mothers and children, as they are waiting for us to be able to get them back through the gate. And we didn't get them. We didn't get them in time before the bombers bombed that gate. And we have pictures afterwards of that same area with just bodies and body parts in it.
Glenn,
that was the State Department's fault.
Glenn, are you able to say why the State Department is fighting you on this? Why would they not want these people to come out?
I think there's two reasons possible, maybe more, but two that are obvious. Mass incompetence, which I think a lot of it is. And the other is you don't want to be shown up. We're making them look bad. And if we could take out that many people and get them to countries with them blocking our airplanes, with them blocking us at the gates, with them blocking us in countries, if we could accomplish that, how bad do you think they look when they say they got 122,000 out and every American except 250? I can tell you right now, we just got Americans out about an hour and a half ago. Americans that wanted to go and had no way out. You're getting lies from the government and the State Department. The other option is, if this is who you believe America is anyway, and you think America is the worst place ever, you don't believe that people actually want to come here because they'll be horrible anyway. This is what our military does, gets people killed and leaves them behind. Americans know the truth. That's not who we are.
That's right. You know, I just read about one of the commanders today who spoke out about all of this and how it was gross incompetence and wrong, and he was relieved of his command. And so I would say that it's not really the troops that's the problem. It's the brass. It's the leadership that is causing
all
this.
People, honestly, it's all the people that, played kissy face during the Obama administration. All of these people that were ladder climbers and got up into positions and then said nothing and didn't make any waves during the Trump administration, and now they're in charge. And they're saying that Americans are the biggest threat to our security. They're saying Trump supporters are the biggest threat to our security. They've spent all this time trying to be politically correct and trying to teach this critical race theory nonsense to our troops, and they've taken their eye off the ball in what they should be doing and the real threat to America. I talked to Nigel Farage today from the United Kingdom, and I will tell you, he said the United Kingdom will not do another military option or operation with us until this president and vice president are no longer in office. We have put ourselves in the most dangerous situation. And I'm telling you, only God can save us now. Only God can save us now.
Hmm. Well, I don't know if you can answer this question, but how can you do these things that the U.S. government says they can't do? Again, we could say it's incompetence or maybe their worldview, but How do you have these connections over there? I know you can't give us all the details, but how can you do this?
The only answer I have is God. This is a God's fingerprints have been all over this, and I've been saying for 10 years now, we can't close our hearts. Dietrich Bonhoeffer lost in Germany because the Christians had lost their Judeo-Christian values and they had closed their hearts. That's why he lost and Gandhi won. And we cannot close our hearts. We have to keep them soft and nimble, and we have to keep them aligned with God and love. And when I presented that on the air, I tell you, I said we had to raise $20 million in 3 days. That's impossible. Nobody has ever done that. No audience has ever done that before, ever. It's insane. And as I said it, I was like, this is a miracle if this happens. And it did. Mm. And then the country started to open up for us. And then we had 7 planes on the runway at one time. And it's a miracle if we can fill one of them. We filled 7. We filled 10. We filled 15. And it's all God. It's all God.
Wow. So do you contract for these planes and just you're paying for it? That's what the $20 million goes for, I guess. It's all of these things.
Yeah, that's part of it. We had our money was being held by one of the credit card companies that was doing all of the transactions at the NazareneFund.org. And they held it for about a week. They said, we're not sure that this is legitimate. And this money might be used for nefarious purposes. And so they held it for a week. And so we had to sign a bridge loan. And I tell you, every time those 737s didn't fly with people, it made me sweat a little bit. Mm-hmm. Luckily we got the money and we still could use it. We're just about to, hopefully this weekend, I'm going to be traveling with David someplace else in the world. And we'll be announcing something big that is another absolute miracle that happened. And we hope to be able to talk about it.
Well, I know really that our viewers would like to participate in this. How could they be a part of this?
You can. First of all, we need prayer coverage like there is no tomorrow. These people are alone. They are hiding now alone. They've broken up from groups. They have to. They are surrounded by trouble. They don't know who to trust. And so prayer is the first thing. The second thing is money. If you can donate, this has all come in $5 and $10 and $100 donations. If you can donate to the Nazarene Fund, please do. The NazareneFund.org.
So we have that information on the screen and people can go to that and contribute. Man, that's awesome.
And by the way, one more thing. Every single penny that is goes directly to the fund and directly to saving these people, nothing else.
Wow. Well, Glenn, let me say on the behalf of all of us here and also these viewers, thank you for stepping in and doing what our government is too inept or too unwilling to do. And I know that it puts you at risk.
Yeah. And it's an honor to live at this time, all of us. Mm. We were placed here at this time for a reason. And, Billy Graham said to me before he died, I said, Billy, where is the next Lincoln? Where's the next Washington? Where's the next Billy Graham? And he smiled and he shook his head and he said, Glenn, it's not going to work that way this time. And I said, what do you mean? And he said, God's tired of people like me getting the credit for things. It's time he gets the credit. He said, people are going to sit as individuals, and if they are listening to the Lord, he will tell them to do something, and it won't necessarily make sense because it'll be too small, and they'll think, that doesn't really make a difference. He said, but it will. And he said, if they stand there and do just what they're supposed to do, the lights will turn on, and they will realize they're surrounded by others who are doing exactly what they were supposed to do. And he said, it will be a mosaic that only God could have pulled off. That's what's happening.
Billy Graham said that, but Oral Roberts told me basically the same thing. I said, how can you change a nation? And he says, you can't. All you can do is what God tells you to do. And if everybody else does right. what God tells them to do, then God does it and God gets the credit
yes.
for it. Same thing.
And it's weird. It's weird because you think that it, when I was raising the money, I feel I was over there and all these people are really risking their lives. They're doing so much great stuff. All I did was get on the radio and raise money. And I feel kind of worthless, you know, about that part, but I have to accept, and we all have to accept, that's our role. We don't have to do more than what the Lord has asked us to do. We just do our role. That's it.
Well,
let the pieces take it from there.
Well, you know, the Christians are actually in the majority. If they would just, like you're saying, do their part, I guarantee you, we could take over things.
That's right.
So we got David Barton with us. David, I guess you're through with your interview with Newsmax. Thank you for joining us and arranging Glenn to be with us. Thank you for being here.
Oh, man, it's a thrill always to be with you, and it's a blast to be with Glenn. We've had several days together recently, and so it's like a family reunion here tonight. So thanks for letting me get in late.
Are you guys back in the States now, or can you tell us?
We are.
I think physically we're back. those 20-hour flights are long flights, man, but physically I think we're back for sure.
Man, I've been avoiding overseas travel just because I don't want to take the test. I don't want to do the mask. I'm not doing all this stuff. You guys?
I think we had 5 COVID tests when all was said and done. I mean, they were poking our brain.
Yeah. That's terrible.
Yeah.
So can you answer this? You're taking all of these people out of these harm's way. Where are you taking them to? How do you make these arrangements? And what about their immigration status? And it just seems like this is a logistical nightmare. How are you doing it?
Glenn, you want to go for that one? All right.
I'll take that. We are doing our best. We had several countries lined up. And then the State Department started calling those countries and saying, don't take those people. It was shocking to us, shocking. Mm-hmm. We had one country that was taking people, knew exactly what was going on. They were just a safe haven or safe harbor until we get them onto the next the track. Had to call the ambassador in Washington, D.C., and he said, I know exactly what's going on. Don't worry. Just tell me that you will move these people on to another stage, and we will. And this is the miracle that I was talking about. We had no options, and a guy who was coming with us and at the last minute said, hey, I'd like to come with you. And David and I kind of looked at each other and were like, okay, he's a good guy, and I don't know what he's going to do, but you know, God's putting things together. Okay, come on, we have room. He came on when we had these ambassadors called. Macedonia was another one where they said, don't take any of these people. We said, where are we gonna send them? And he said, you know, I have all these contacts at unnamed countries. He said, I could call the president right now and ask him. And we just looked at each other and went, that's God. Why is this guy? We didn't know why he was with us. That's why.
That's awesome.
Wow. That is awesome.
So, David, we hadn't heard much from you, but how do you rate the U.S., what they're doing? Glenn was saying it was either incompetence or because it made them look bad, but to get them out is one thing, but then to call and ask countries not to accept them, that is just absolutely wrong. How do you rate what's happening?
Andrew, let me pile on a little bit with that. A week ago, actually about 10 days ago before we left, it was so bad. The Nazarene Fund, we've been blessed with such great leadership, such great personnel, such great workers. Assets are unbelievable. But before we left, it was so much confusion in Afghanistan on the civilian side of the airport that the guy who runs stuff for us, our field operation guy, the military said, hey, would you take the civilian side of the airport? This is crazy. And so planes started getting out and they started running. And apparently that wasn't good for the State Department. I remember getting a message from him that said, we have 7 planes on the runway and the State Department just canceled all of the clearances on all of them. So then we had to stand down. They got other planes out. Then 48 hours, we have the 7 planes back again. I got another message from him saying, State Department just canceled us again. And so I have a number of these where we had things sitting on the ground, the State Department cancels. Glenn said they would call ahead to countries. We had 3,500 going to Australia, and the State Department pressures them. Australia says, we think we'll back out. We had this going all over the country. 2 days ago, we were going to Albania, and then Albania gets pressure from the State Department. Maybe not. And so this is going, we're having to do it. You've got the Taliban on the outside of the fence, and you've got the State Department on the inside of the fence. So you're fighting two enemies. And the thing I think people need to understand about process is the government is so large that it is not accountable. President Trump used to talk about the swamp, okay? But if we use that analogy, the most alligators in D.C. are in the swamp of the State Department. And the problem with the State Department, you got more than 100,000 folks working over there, and you can't fire any of them. No matter how competent, how bad they are, you can't fire them. That's the way federal employment is set up, so you can't do anything. But this has been bad for a long time. Go back to Ronald Reagan. When he said, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall, the State Department immediately sent out a communique to all the other nations saying, that's not our position. What do you mean that's not your position? The president just said that. That's because the State Department runs independently, has its own agenda. It's not moving that direction. We saw that even with President Trump when he said, hey, let's move the embassy to Jerusalem. And the State Department said, no, don't do that. You'll create a war over there. I mean, State Department's got their own agenda, and people need to understand that. So we're having to work around the State Department. As Glenn said, we're not even saying where we're taking these people. And by the way, we've had offers today from some other countries, it looks like, that are willing to take folks, which we really need because there's just so many more that have been flown out that don't have places to go now because of the State Department. So, yeah, there's a lot of stuff. You know, Paul says tribulations from without and within. We certainly have that going on right now with the State Department and the Taliban.
Can I put in one thing here that David just kind of glossed over that we have never talked about before? So this is a scoop. But David said, this is again another massive miracle. We're raising all this money. I'm talking to our guy who's our COO of the Nazarene Fund. And I said, Rudy, we are going to have to get planes. How are we going to get them in, et cetera, et cetera? He starts making phone calls and he starts getting in and working his way into the airport in Kabul. Before we leave, he is asked to run the civilian side of the airport. So he's the guy that is saying, okay, this plane in, this plane lands, this plane goes. All he is, the only obstruction was the State Department, but we were running the private side of the airport. How does that happen?
I'd say it's God. Yeah. I'd say that God is behind this. Thank you for being a vessel that God uses on this. Let me ask you, the official U.S. stance is that there's 250 Americans left to get out. What is your assessment of that? Do you think that's an accurate number?
Can I answer that one first, Glenn? I'm going to take this one. You remember for weeks, the State Department has been saying there's 10,000 Americans that we need to get out. The State Department yesterday said, we've got 5,400 Americans out, and now the airport's closed. They're using Common Core math when 5,400 from 10,000 leaves you 200. I mean, that is terrible. Any math you use, 4,600. Now, I don't know there's 4,600 there. I don't think anybody knows. We know there's more than 200 Americans there because that's we got more than that on our list, and a lot of groups have lists. So, I mean, that is just Common Core. This is what you get when you have education reform and go backwards with it like Common Core did. Okay, Glenn, your time.
I would just say evil is running rampant across the earth, and it is nothing but lies. You are hearing the whispers of lies in almost everything. You know, I have talked to many people today from overseas, in our military, in our government, and they're all saying the same thing. I can't tell you, Glenn, what's really happening because I don't believe any of it. I don't believe anything that's coming out of our government. That's frightening. Never happened before in my lifetime.
Glenn, I've got a question, which is, the level of incompetence that's on display here, do you guys believe that it's really just incompetence, or is there actually an agenda at work here?
I'll start. incompetence would require occasionally something to happen that wasn't evil. I mean, if it's just incompetence, the actions taken and the accidents always fall into one category: what's bad for America and humanity. I think part of it is incompetence, but I think higher up in the ladder, this is absolutely agenda. And I could be wrong.
Yeah, I would totally agree that this is agenda. And remember, the State Department, these are not accountable guys. And these are guys, there are many America haters in the State Department. I mean, America haters. And you can't get rid of them. And there's open communists, and there's socialists, and there's Marxists, and there's all these guys that hate our system. And they're going to use what power they've got to undermine that system. They're going to make America look bad any chance they get. And this is just another chance. So I think there's absolute incompetence. You can't have that many people in a company and not have some real incompetence problems. And the communication problems and the different agendas, there's a lot of incompetence. But there's a lot of knowledgeable evil that is there as well. And we've seen that so many times. And I see it specifically often working with presidents to see what the undersecretaries do and what they consider for example, if you take something like Hillary Clinton came in and gets this Office of Global Women's Initiatives. What is Global Women's Initiatives? LGBTQ. And then the State Department goes to Kenya and said, you know, you guys voted into your constitution a prohibition of abortion because that's what the nation wanted, but you have to take that out or you will get no more help for America. You will be our enemy. That's not the State Department's role. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is moral evil. And so we see them promoting this across the world with agendas that are just inconsistent with the American people or their role as a State Department. Glenn's exactly right. There's a lot of evil there. You would see occasional good stuff come up, more so than we do now. And so I think he's right. The numbers are there that suggest it's pretty intentional in a lot of places.
So what is the benefit or the payback to them of this agenda? Is it just that they delight in evil, or is there any benefit to them? How do they justify this?
The destruction of the Western way of life. Excuse me, Mike. just the destruction of the Western way of life. It is very clear that there is I don't know what you would call it, a cabal, for lack of a better word, that has been moving towards the destruction of the Western way of life, Judeo-Christian principles, the free market as we know it, America as we know it, the Western culture, all of it, they want it gone. And anything that will hasten that destruction. I mean, you know, I said about 12 years ago, I said, you will know when we're coming to the real tough places with the country, and you will know which side to be on, because one side will always be promoting chaos. And you cannot be involved in chaos, because that's the wrong side, and it will destroy us. And it's so clear, everything this administration has done, everything that is being done in Washington seems to lead to chaos. And we know who the author of chaos is.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
That's right.
It seems to me that this is terrible PR for them, though. I don't know how this is helping them. I mean, the American public is revolting at this. Do you think that there's going to be accountability? I know that, Glenn, you got a great voice. Are we going to be able to hold the administration accountable for what's happening?
Let me take a shot at the first part of it. I agree with you, Andrew. People are not liking this. The polling I saw yesterday, only 34% of Americans believe the administration is accurately telling the story. The other believes that it's a lot worse than the administration is saying. So when you have those kind of numbers, that means a lot of Democrats are not buying into what this is. And that's not good political stuff for any president at that point in time. So I don't think that people are necessarily aware of the extent of what's going on, particularly the sabotage of the State Department. But I do think that they're not buying into what's happening, which creates a climate. And it's interesting to see even someone like Bill Maher, you know, HBO, come out and defend America and jump on the woke movement. Because if you want to understand what woke leads to, you don't understand what Afghanistan's about. To hear folks like that making that comparison, there's something interesting going on that maybe is a wake-up call. We couldn't have done another way. I don't know. But I know that Americans aren't buying into this right now, at least by polling.
I will say, add this. A lot of people are going to be surprised. They don't, you know, you'd have to believe that the Justice Department isn't totally corrupt, that intelligence isn't totally corrupt. And they are corrupt. I'm not saying that the average FBI agent, I'm saying the top of the ladder is corrupt. And it's corrupt, I think, to the core. And it's gonna come as a surprise, like a thief in the night. It is gonna come as a surprise to many people. And we as Christians have not put oil in our lamps. We have got to return to Him. We have to turn to Him and beg forgiveness, beg that He will keep our hearts tender and open so we will serve like Him. Otherwise, there is nothing that will save us. There is no accountability. That's why that Lieutenant Colonel
relieved.
Had to step down, removed from command, because he was demanding accountability.
Yeah.
There will be no accountability until we are right and held accountable to God and ask Him for His forgiveness and for our help. We need Him. It's too far gone. Without Him, there is no chance.
Well, it looks to me like this is exposing that the corruption is just pervasive in all forms, all parts of government. It sounds like this is really revealing that.
Well, you know, it used to be that we had some confidence in the military as being, you know, still true to their duty. But at this point, you have to question even that.
Well,
I would question.
Let me talk to that leadership.
Yeah, the leadership, not the soldiers on the ground, but the top leadership.
And let me hit that real quick. The military, I cannot tell you. I was talking to a military officer today, and he said, look, the word is out. It keeps coming down to us. You guys keep your mouth shut. And they're saying that because there's a real kind of insurrection going in the military itself. They know it's wrong. There was literally a confrontation about 4 days ago between the American and the British military, and the British military chewed our guys out for not doing the right thing, and it was really tough on our guys because they don't like what they're being told. And I will say this from the military. They're required to follow every lawful order. And as bad as this was, as incompetent as it was, this is a lawful order. I mean, it's just terrible. It's atrocious what happened. And I praise our military for respecting the Constitution enough to not try to overthrow civilian power and do their own thing. And so I am a firm believer that you have to have a civilian power over the military, which is what the Constitution set up. Our commander-in-chief, Clinton, you know, did the stuff with Monica Lewinsky, and all the people were saying, well, man, under the UCMJ, the military code, that is a court-martial offense, what he did. He's commander-in-chief. Yeah, but he's civilian. He's not military. You can't try him under the UCMJ. So the Constitution has made it really clear the civilians are over the military. If it wasn't like that, we'd be having coups like a third world nation. And I praise our military for all the restraint they've shown because this wrecks their gut. And that's why you're seeing so many military veterans go back on a volunteer basis, forming special forces groups to get these guys out even after the military is long gone. So I think, and I know what you were trying to say, Richard, but I'm going to say the military is good. It's the 3- and 4-star political generals that are woke, like Milley and others, that are giving almost untenable orders to these guys that they hate doing, but they are doing it. And you know, I'll just jump in on another thing. I'm talking to some congressmen this week, and they're filing all sorts of impeachment charges against Blinken and against Lloyd Austin and against Biden. And you know what? You can't impeach for incompetency. It has to be a high crime and misdemeanor. And so these guys are just frustrated and talking to the other talking to other congressmen. David. They're saying, hey, guys, you know, they did it to us. They did it to Trump. Look, because they broke the Constitution doesn't mean we break the Constitution. Yeah. So we're having to kind of keep that balance.
I will say, though, David, giving them 33 Black Hawk helicopters, all of the stuff that was left behind, even though it was supposed to be used by the Afghan military, we have drones. The minute they abandoned those things, we should have bombed those.
That's right.
That, to me, is a high crime, to just hand over the most sophisticated weapons on planet Earth to the Taliban. That, to me, is an impeachable offense.
Yeah, I agree with you there, Glenn. I think that side is untenable. The fact that we have given them all the biometrics we have, and we gave them the names of all those who are our allies, we gave that to the Taliban. The fact that the Taliban now has more Black Hawks than 85% of the nations in the world, along with 200 planes, along with 600,000 pieces of ammunition, we have made them able to kill, multiplied more than they killed before. They've been butchers and murderers, and now we see the clips we've seen today of our Black Hawk helicopters being used as hanging platforms to execute people and flying around the city and terrorizing everyone. Yeah, I'm with you, Glenn.
That's right. People who I believe are Christians, I can't prove it, but we know that's who they're targeting, taking them and tying them to the skids of our helicopter and flying over and landing on those people. It is it is reprehensible what we have done.
Now, I haven't seen or heard any of this. Is this stuff that is widely known, or is this new information?
No.
It's all over social media. Just get social media, look for Black Hawk helicopters in Afghanistan, you'll see it. It's all over social media.
The thing I was talking about has just happened today, and I'm not sure if that's out.
Wow. Dan Crenshaw has posted on his, Congressman Dan Crenshaw, former Navy SEAL, has posted on his social media these clips, and they're unbelievable. It's terrible.
So I know that the Republicans...
I agree with you, Glenn, that's an impeachable offense. That is crimes against humanity at that point. That is a crime against humanity. We should have blown up everything if we're not going to take it back to America, blow it up, destroy it before you leave. And the fact we didn't, I agree. I yield on that one. That's a crime against humanity. Mm.
You said that 34% of the people were approving of Biden's performance. Are these people that if he did anything would approve of what he's doing? Or is there any way that their eyes are going to be open through this?
Well, first of all, if you look at that poll, and I can't remember the numbers exactly, but it was about a 7% swing in favor of Democrats, okay? So you're going to have more people, if you're surveying more, it's gonna look out of balance. So I don't believe it's 34. If it's 34% of this country, 20, I understand, maybe even 25, but 34, 35%, that's insanity. That just is rock solid. I'm just going to vote the party and I don't care about anything. And I don't believe America is there at 35% range.
David? Yeah, and I'll add to that, Andrew, that polling-wise, right now, about 26% of the nation self-identifies as Republican, about 26% self-identifies as Democrat, and the rest is independent. And so what Glenn's talking about, instead of having a poll that's 26% of the people Republican, 26% Democrat, and the rest Americans that don't identify, what you've got is a poll that looks at 35% of the nation being Democrat. So they over-poll the Democrats, which is why you're going to get higher numbers in favor of Democrats. It's not an accurate poll. And so what Glenn's saying is that 34% is too high because they counted too many Democrats, and that's not representative of what the people are. So the numbers really are lower.
And I feel so compelled to say, if anyone takes anything from this conversation, it's this. Do not become angry. Do not fall into any of this stuff. Do not seek any trouble. These are enemies of God, not enemies of ours. In their arrogance, they will be exposed. Amen. And they will fall.
Amen.
We cannot play into their hands and do something stupid, because the minute one soldier says, I've had it, and pops off and does something, they will use that to crush all of us. Yeah, all of
that's
us.
Right.
It's just like the January 6th. Yeah, that's a great point.
That is a great point. So how can we put a positive spin on any of this? I mean, what good could come out of any of this?
A revival.
Well, if I can throw one in. We've been praying for revival, and one of the revivals is it brings, as we know in the Gospels, Paul said, bring to light, that light brings to light the hidden things of darkness. We're seeing more darkness come to light in the last few months than we've seen in several years.
Yeah.
You can't address hidden darkness. You have to have it out there where you can see it. And so the American people are getting a good look at what certain philosophies and certain worldviews create, and they're not liking it. George Barna, a good friend, the number one question he asked to know whether you have a biblical worldview or not is, do you think man is inherently good? And most Americans say, oh, yeah, man's inherently good. Well, if that's true, then what's the Taliban about? What's Afghanistan about? What's all this stuff going on? I think right now this is a great spiritual awakening for us to see the reality of human nature and what it looks like without a Savior, without God, without His Word, without His principles. This is what humanity looks like, and to downplay religion and to see it not be important in the lives of our young people anymore, this is where it will lead. So I think this is really... I got to be careful how I say this. I think it's spiritually healthy that we're seeing bad stuff come up because you can't deal with it otherwise.
Mm.
And so I'm not saying it's good to see the bad, but I'm saying it's good to know the bad's out there and how real it is so that you can confront it, can address it. And I don't think American people are going along and liking what they're seeing, which I think is the wake-up call. There's a great verse I point to where God says, I'm going to shock you out of your complacency over in Isaiah. And I think this is part of what's happening, is we're getting shocked out of our complacency.
And there is one other thing that goes hand in hand with this. Americans, Martin Luther King said, when you put good versus evil side by side on a television screen, the American people will always pick good. Well, evil is becoming very apparent.
Yeah. Mm.
The problem is, if we as Christians don't put good next to it, we're not seen doing the things that the Lord would have us do. Instead, we're arguing, we're doing the same kind of stuff because they did it, they started it. We don't win. We have to put good next to evil, and the American people will choose good as long as our hearts remain open. And the best thing about this, I learned from one of the righteous among the nations, a girl at 16, saved about 100 Jews in Poland. And I said to her, I said, Paulina, I believe the tree of righteousness is in all of us. I have a great responsibility. I talk to about 50 million people a month. How do I water the tree of righteousness? And she, after the translation, she looked at me just so puzzled, and she said, you misunderstand. The righteous didn't suddenly become righteous. They just refused to go over the cliff with the rest of humanity. All you have to do is just say and do the things that your mom and dad taught you were right.
Hmm.
You don't have to be a superhero. You don't have to be some great person. You just have to do what you know already is right.
Amen. Mm. That's good preaching.
That's good, yeah.
It is.
You know, I've mentioned this to David, so he knows this, but Glenn, I don't know if you've heard me say this, but the Lord spoke to me that we are already in the third great awakening. David agrees with that. And I believe that one of the ways that this will work together for good is, like David was saying, you have to expose a mold to the light to kill it. And now this ungodliness that has been there for decades in our government has been exposed, and I really believe that the American people are going to revolt at this in a way that their dominion machines and all of the other things cannot overcome.
Amen.
I really think it's going to work for our good.
Amen.
Hey, pray you're right.
Can I tell you how encouraging it is to hear Glenn just preach so encouragingly? I sound like Eeyore tonight. You know, he's Christopher Robin or Winnie the Pooh or something. I'm pulling the Eeyore test tonight. But thank you, Glenn, for all the positive, man. Bringing the positive. You overcome the evil with the good, and you keep emphasizing that. And that's a great word. That's a great word.
I got something, guys. What our viewers are wanting to know about these refugees and where are they going to be cared for in the countries where they're headed? Are they going to be accepted? What's happening with them, as they're probably going there destitute and so on. Does Nazarene Fund have plans to help them, and how can our viewers help out in that process?
So this is a really great question. Mm-hmm. And one of the puzzling things that has happened, quite honestly, to us with Australia saying no, we've already moved, David, you probably know the numbers better than I do. I know over 10,000 Christians from Syria and Iraq to Australia. And they have a great system. And we help them with language so that they can speak the language. The government helps them with a stipend for a house, the free rent for, I think, the first month, and then pieces of rent to help them. They get job training. And the minute they stop doing those things, they're sent back. And we have really worked hard with Australia, and it's an amazing system. We are willing to help these governments through our funds to pay for language. One of the countries we've already talked to about getting them jobs, one country that we hope to be announcing soon, has pretty much jobs for everybody. And it's really encouraging. But that's what one of the things that makes us different is we do vetting like nobody's business. So we're not sending terrorists over to anybody's country. And we make sure that after they're out, they're not just dumped somewhere. We want them to speak the language. We want them to learn the culture, and we want them to have a job. That way they'll make the country stronger. And I'm telling you, Barack Obama didn't take a single Christian from us, not one. This country will not take a single Christian. And these countries that take these people, they will be greatly blessed by these immigrants and these refugees, greatly blessed. We are missing out on blessings by not taking these people. It's wrong.
Wow. Yeah, and there are such, and I can't emphasize enough, if you're gonna pray, yeah, pray for our military, pray for all the things there, but pray for all these new refugees. I mean, these guys are carrying their life in a paper sack onto a plane. They're going to a country they've never even seen on a globe before. They don't even know where they're going. They don't know anything about it. And I mean, think about leaving everything behind, taking your kids. Everybody dresses different from you. Everybody talks different from you. You don't know the culture. And trying to get them assimilated in it. And Glenn and I, in this last week, we have vetoed some countries because we just said, nah, if they go there, they're not going to be taken care of. I mean, that country's willing to accept them, but they need a support grid when they get there. And so that is a big concern that we have, is to find the right countries and match them.
And we will help. As long as we have the money, we will help. We don't want to burden these countries. We want to show them that these people will be a blessing. And by dumping them in a country and not teaching the culture and the language, and then basic job skills, they're going to be a burden. And then where are we? We have to help them be successful.
That's right.
Once again, would you give the information of your Nazarene Fund, how people can contribute and be a part of that?
TheNazareneFund.org. You can go there. I know you can go to Wall Builders as well. You can go to Mercury One, which is also a clearinghouse of another charity that gave birth to the Nazarene Fund. 100%. I can't speak for David. I don't mean to throw you under the bus here, David. I don't know. But 100% of the Nazarene Fund and MercuryOne.org, 100% of every dollar goes to that. So we're not paying for light bills or anything else. I do fundraisers separately for all of the administrative costs. This is all for whatever you earmark it for.
Yeah, and the same with Wall Builders. We have the Middle East Fund. 100% goes downrange. Like Mercury One, like Glenn, we raise the money for all the accounting and all the bookkeeping and all the supervision, everything that goes with it. But any donor dollar that comes in for the Middle East, 100% goes downrange to the Middle East. And even as Glenn and I were over there this last week, we didn't even use those funds to travel over there. We make sure all of that money goes downrange to the effort. We had to be over there. If we had not been there, we couldn't have made key decisions that saved literally thousands of lives. But we still didn't do that out of contributed funds. That's just not what we do. Wall Builders, Mercury One, Nazarene Fund, none of that. It's downrange 100% for all this Middle East stuff.
Yeah. Well, once again, let me thank you for all of our viewers for doing what you're doing. Man, praise God that you guys are sticking your neck out there. I mean, not only is it tough on you physically, emotionally, all of the finances, but man, you are becoming a target. The government is, I'm sure, upset with you sharing this information. So thank you again for sticking your neck out and doing this. You know, we're being carried on CTN, and we have to end in 3 minutes and 20 seconds exactly. So we're right down to the wire. But could we just real quickly pray about all this? Because like you said, Glenn, I think God is the only way out of this. It's a mess. Yeah. So, Father, absolutely. I just agree with Glenn Beck, David Barton, Richard, and I agree, and we pray. And we pray with all of these tens of thousands of people that are watching this right now. And, Father, we just ask for your miracle intervention. I know that you're doing this through the Nazarene Fund, through the wall builders. But, Father, we just pray for intervention on the ground. We pray that the enemy, just as you confuse their languages at the Tower of Babel, we believe that all of this ungodliness just comes to, it fails, that it does not work. Thank you that we are getting more and more people out and that you're opening up nations, that you're providing for these people once they get there. And we just speak against you, Satan, the demonic power that is behind all of this, and we say you will not prevail. We believe that the Holy Spirit is raising up godly people all over the world to stand and to pray in agreement. And we just speak that this evil will not prevail. Amen. That, Father, this is somehow or another going to work together for good, and that you're exposing this corruption. We pray for our people in Congress. That, Father, Dan Crenshaw, these other people that are calling for impeachment, Father, we're praying that you give them the courage to stand, the voice, amplify their voice. Amplify the voice of Glenn Beck, David Barton, Truth and Liberty. And, Father, help us to make a difference. Father. We just offer ourselves here, and we are depending upon you for miracle intervention in this situation. And we agree on that in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
So thanks again, guys, for what you're doing. Thank you for being a part of this tonight. And if there's any other way that we can help, if you want to use Truth and Liberty to get this message out, any way that we can help you, just let us know. We would love to be a part of it.
Amen. Keep us, please, keep us covered in prayers. Keep the people that we're trying to save covered in prayer. That is the most powerful thing you can do.
Well, we appreciate you. And we want to thank again CTN for carrying this on their network and doing that for us. Thank all of you for joining us. And remember, we do this every Monday night. And I believe that you see the benefit of it. You're getting information here that you aren't getting in other places. And I tell you, we need to be informed. God's people perish or destroyed because of a lack of knowledge. And we're putting out some godly knowledge. So I encourage you to join us every Monday night at 6 p.m. Mountain Time for our Truth and Liberty broadcast. And praise God, we'll continue to have on some great, great people.
That's
Thank you guys again. God bless all Thank of you. You for watching us. Thank you. And we'll see you again next Monday night for our Truth and Liberty live cast right here. God bless you.
God bless.
Good night, guys.
It's time for us to stand up. And I'm saying that it is time for the body of Christ to rise up and get out of the four walls of a church.
One of the responsibilities of the church and Christians is to destroy the works of the devil wherever we find them.
The real love, the real peace, the real joy doesn't come by being triggered by everything, but by being vertically connected to the creator of the universe and having his life flow through you.
Father, I just believe that this is helping wake the church up. And I thank you that as each one of us goes out and does our part, that Father, this is going to make a difference.
Join us next time for the Truth and Liberty broadcast. Find tonight's episode and related articles and links at truthandliberty.net. Truth and Liberty is viewer supported. If you'd like to help us continue our live casts, you can make a donation at truthandliberty.net.